It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover property news 7 days a week for you right around Australia, as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And it's a Tuesday morning, April the 30th today. Yes, the year is moving on. And as a result, what we're going to do this morning is take a look at the first quarter of 2024, because we're well into the second quarter. We thought that it could be an interesting look back over the first quarter of this year with some of the interesting signalling that we had from various real estate commentators. And it started back in February with the first rate announcement for the year.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
Well, it is a Tuesday afternoon, and it is the first Tuesday of the month, and we all know what that means. It is time to bring in Anthony Landau from Equilibria Finance. And good afternoon, Anthony. What is happening? Here we go again, the first one for 2024.
Yeah, good afternoon, Craig. Here we go again indeed. But I think the sort of approach is a little bit more subdued this year than the frenzy of last year. So look, not unexpectedly, the cash rate has been held at 4.35%, essentially on the back of our recent inflationary data that came out last week.
This is really a formality, and I can't think where we've said it's going to hold. There's no way it's going to go up.
Yeah, I think this has been the most predicted outcome over the last 12 or 15 months since May 22, where
exactly,
there weren't really any economists predicting anything but a hold.
Remember, we are not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
So that was the first RBA announcement. Luckily for us, it has remained in pause mode ever since. And then came some comments early February from the newly appointed Michelle Bullock about what to expect moving forward.
It might be, we've already emphasised that there could be risks on the upside, there could be risks on the downside. Now, if the risks on the downside present themselves, then we have the options of cutting interest rates. If the risks on the upside eventuate, then we might have to look at whether or not we need to increase again. But I think the point is that we need to make sure that we don't have to backtrack on inflation, that inflation doesn't get away. We do need to make sure we're making progress. We need to convince that that progress is going to continue. That's what's going to help ultimately mortgage holders and everyone. So I think the thing that worries me is that we get some more shocks and we don't know where they're coming from. You look at the last few years, pandemic, Ukraine, Middle East, what's going to come from left field? That's what worries me. What I don't know is coming and what the implications of that might be for inflation and inflation expectations, and how do we handle it?
And that, of course, is the big one, isn't it? That's the big problem now, living in this volatile world, is that we just don't know where the next shock is coming from. And I did think that the press conference, in terms of how Michelle Bullock answered questions, was pretty honest and straight down the middle. She was also asked about the elephant in the room, and that was what is currently happening in China with the slowdown in the market there and how that might affect the RBA's target range.
So China, yes, the slowdown in China is built into our forecast. As we all know, they are experiencing difficulties, particularly in their property sector. There has been some policy response to the slowdown in China GDP, but it's still a slowdown. The way that impacts us, of course, is through commodity prices in particular and our exports of commodities. So we are very focused on it. We judge things, the risks actually at the moment is fairly balanced. So I'll come back to my previous point that we're not ruling in or out interest rate changes. The board decided today to stay on hold, given all the evidence it had. There was encouraging signs. The forecasts indicate in the central forecast we are coming down around about to target in 2025 and then midpoint 2026, and the judgment that the risks are broadly balanced.
So that was Michelle Bullock from February of this year. Really interesting, of course, to hear some of those comments, because the real estate market, it's constantly changing, isn't it, with either nuanced shifts or some really big movement. You can never tell from month to month what is happening. But I can tell you who we're going to hear from next, and that is Eliza Owen from CoreLogic and Nicola Powell from Domain, with some of their earlier comments from this year.
Each week, we bring you in-depth real estate discussions, including inspiring stories from homeowners, knowledgeable real estate professionals and economists. Whether you're a buyer, seller, or just a real estate enthusiast, we are your ultimate property podcast.
Talking to Eliza Owen. And Eliza, understanding the nuances in 2024 of housing supply and demand definitely informs policy responses and market expectations, particularly regarding the sensitivity of buyer demand to changes in interest rates and affordability. Those nuances, I think that they're set to continue, aren't they, for 2024?
Yeah, so I guess what this alludes to, especially in the context of a potential reduction in the cash rate, is that we know that fundamentally there's a lot of demand for housing, but housing in the purchasing market could increase if we get an interest rate reduction, because that would presumably increase borrowing capacity for people in the rental market. It could make housing look more affordable from the perspective of ongoing mortgage costs. So that's why I think households could be sensitive to a change in the demand parameters around purchases this year.
And despite Sydney's reputation for sky-high property prices, resale returns over the past decade have been higher in other Australian cities. And Sydney's median house and unit prices surpass those other cities, but resale returns have been more impressive in smaller markets. So, Nicola, where is that standing out around the country for you? What is really leaping out?
So I feel like we need a drum roll, don't we, in launch of what is the city that has seen the greatest return. So we actually looked at, you know, we know property markets go through price cycles, and we know that Sydney is renowned for these roller coaster property cycles. And what we mean by that is Sydney tends to see greater rates of price growth, but we also see stronger rates of pullback in price in Sydney. But what we've seen is some of our other quiet achievers have seen some phenomenal rates of growth over the last decade. And we looked at the average marginal returns on property, and the cities that came out as the top performers for houses were actually Perth, Hobart and Canberra. Now, they saw returns of anywhere between kind of 5% to almost nudging up to 7%. So that's an average annual return over the last 10 years. And Sydney, yeah, didn't see. Melbourne saw the smallest over the last 10 years, then followed by Brisbane. But yeah, those cities, I mean, we know Perth and Adelaide have seen, and Adelaide was also up there at almost 5%, but we know Perth has really seen strong rates of price growth and really avoided any downturn that other capital cities really felt over last year.
Let's fuel your passion for property together. Join us, along with our industry experts, to help inspire and inform your next real estate decision.
And right now it's time for another 30-second property tip. We go to Hobart and we are catching up with Eddie Hugenhout. And good morning, Eddie. What have you got for us this morning?
One of my key tips that I give to my purchasers is if they really want to make an offer and they want to win the offer, it's often helpful if you make your offer an odd amount. Don't just make it $850. Because someone else might offer $850 and then it's a bit of a battle. But I'd then go into something like $852,400 or something like that, just to get the point of difference. And you'd be surprised how often that will get your offer over the line.
Yeah, nice one, Eddie. And so true, because people love to be boring and just round off the numbers. So don't do that. Give yourself a fighting chance with some weird amounts that could see you on the day win the property. Right, CoreLogic's Regional Rental Index. It has surged 2.3% in the 3 months to January, outpacing capital city rents, which rose by 2.1%. Notably, 13 areas saw rental increases of 3% or more. Who is the standout? Well, Albany in WA is leading the charge at 6.3%. In fact, Western Australia dominated annual rental growth, with Bunbury topping at 14.8%. Conversely, New South Wales' Batemans Bay recorded the highest quarterly fall at minus 1.8%. Mining hubs like Kalgoorlie-Boulder boasted strong yields, while regional market performance in 2024, no doubt about it, is going to hinge on demographic shifts and local economies influenced by factors like remote work and infrastructure projects, which will all play a bit of a factor this year.
Every morning from 6 a.m. across Australia, we deliver you the latest property news, commentary and predictions from Perth to Cairns and from Melbourne to Brisbane, 7 days a week, only on The Real Estate Podcast.
And just lastly, what about the stress levels, do you think? The stress and the anxiety of premiums. It's kind of like rates. Rates can induce people to skip a heartbeat or two, but I think these premiums are definitely right up there in terms of how you feel about your property.
Totally. In the ABC interview, they picked up on another person they spoke to from one of the peaks, and he said insurance is the canary in a coal mine. And it's interesting, because if that's the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, of people's stress levels, you can imagine the level of stress among Australian citizens right now, not only homeowners, but also renters. People who have to pay insurance, they have to pay it. They have no choice. So what are you going to do? Not insure your home? And also, what are you going to do? Not feed your family? And how are you going to choose between the two?
Yes.
It's highly stressful. And actually, speaking to one of my girlfriends, she works to care for elderly people. She visits 80-year-old women daily. She said to me today, she'd been speaking to all these 80-year-old women who are really wise and knowledgeable. And she said an emerging theme was coming out from that demographic. They noticed in their span of lifespan that living in today's society with our financial pressures, etc., is vastly harder than what they remember when they were raising their families.
So that was earlier in the year, talking about these insurance premiums going up, which of course is a concern for many people struggling to just make ends meet. And that kind of wraps us up, looking back across the first quarter of this year. Hey, enjoy your Tuesday today. And a reminder, if you would like to get in touch with us, our email address is myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Have a great day.
I think we've had inquiries from Switzerland. We've had inquiries from Hong Kong and Singapore, which is not unusual. Also Madrid. Of course, some expats coming back from the UK. UK or people wanting to move here from England.
Alex, this would give you bragging rights, wouldn't it? If you look at the units, the predicted price is to hit 978,000 by that year of 2030.
I really couldn't see why anyone would want to be anywhere else. If you have the ability to earn an income, have a lifestyle on the Gold Coast, I feel very confident in the Gold Coast economy. I feel very confident in the property market here. And I just think that we've got the best place in the world. I've said it many times. If Australia is the envy of the world and the Gold Coast is the envy of Australia, that makes us number one.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.